The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition, more specifically, day two of the Aintree Grand National Festival. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to it is Andrew Mount. You can tune in for the action from 1:25 on Friday. Sam Norris, Andy Gibson and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Alongside the action at Aintree, we've got Sedgefield and a bit of Irish action from Nace, Kempton and Ballinrobe in the evening. We've got summer jumping coming up as well on Friday night, so plenty to get stuck into. And Andrew is joining me now. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, thanks, Mark. How are you, sir?
Very well indeed, very well indeed. If you can't be happy at this time of year being a jumps fan, when can you?
Exactly, yeah. We've had a fantastic Cheltenham Festival and Aintree, Punchestown, lots to look forward to.
Yes, we're going to look ahead to day two of the Aintree Grand National Festival. Andrew's got a couple of races for us. We're also going to take a look at the big one itself on Saturday, the Grand National. 5:15 post time on Saturday. Plenty to look forward to there. Was it one of the races that made you get into racing like it does a lot of people? A lot of people first start watching racing because of the Grand National.
Yeah, my first ever bet was on the Grand National. I didn't know a great deal about the sport at the time, and a friend of mine said, "Oh, it's the Grand National. We always have a bet." And I was 18, went down there, and I think I bet Durham Edition for the 1988 Grand National. I think he got a place. And then I remember from that having a bet on the Littlewoods Cup Final, the League Cup Final, as it's better known, between Nottingham Forest and Luton, and winning a few quid on that. And so that kind of like fired my interest in betting, and I guess it all went from there. Mm. So, in terms of horse racing and betting, I can trace it all back to that fateful day in 1988.
A lot of people can't they? A lot of people first get into racing through the Grand National. And let's have a look at this year's renewal before I get stuck into some of the action coming up a little bit closer to hand. We do have the final declarations. They were confirmed at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. Annabelle Fly, Black Lion and Tiger Roll, 10-1 co-favourites of 3. Total Recall, 11-1. Bader's Isle is 16-1, 16s as well for See You at Midnight. He'll be wearing the Party Politics colours now. 18-1 for The Last Samurai, 20-1 for I Just Know, Manila Rocco 20s with Uccello Conti, 22-1 Captain Redbeard, 28-1 for The Dutchman, 33s or bigger for the others. It looks like it is going to be a soft ground national as well, because it's already soft on the Thursday, on the first day. Doesn't look like it's going to dry out too much, so
no,
that's
more,
going to have a large bearing as
that's
well.
That's right, there's more rain forecast as well. They're saying it might actually rain during the race itself, so it might not be quite as bad as when Red Marauder won in 2001. Yes. There were 4 finishers that day, and only 2 finished because they were allowed. 2 of those were allowed to remount, so it would have been 2 otherwise. And at the time, I had my biggest ever bet, 110 quid at 10 to 11, that there were 10 or fewer finishers. With Blue Square, a now defunct firm.
Shrewdy.
And I also bet between 4 and 6 finishes. And then, of course, it was down to 2 at one stage. And then the remounting came to my rescue. And, that was a good old a punting day.
Would you be thinking similar this time around? Do you think there'll be less finishes than would normally?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because since 2012, they've made the fences a lot easier, so you tend to get more finishes. But it could be a case of, sort of a real war of attrition and a battle for survival, and just horses plodding around at the back in an attempt to sort of get round. So, I'm not sure what the current sort of spread is for the number of finishers, but 10 to 12 is not impossible, I would suggest.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll see if we've got any specials on the site right now for that. Let's have a look, shall we? Clicking on the Your Odds page. And 15 or less horses to complete, 4 to 5.
I'd certainly be interested in that.
Yeah.
Particularly if the ground... Again, I'd want to watch the first race, first day's racing on Thursday and see what the race time suggests the ground is doing.
Yeah.
You know, if it's generally soft or heavy, then I can see there being far less finishes than 15.
Do check those out, by the way, on the William Hill website. If you click on the specials tab and then click on the Your Odds Grand National page, there's loads of stuff on there. The shortest price one is the total distance between first and third finisher to be 10 lengths or less. That's 1-2. They go all the way up to 200-1 if you fancy Annibale Fly, Tiger Roll, Chantou Flyer and Milan's Bar, all to finish in the first six places. So there's that's the range of markets, if you like. Plenty in there as well. Irish to train in the first, second and third in the Grand National, 20-1. Trevor Hemmings to own the winner, for instance, so that's 18-1. Female trainer to win the race, 14-1. All those kind of markets on there.
There was a great tweet the other day saying that that's massive value, the female trainer, because Kim Bailey and Sandy Thompson have got 16-1 or shorter. It was obviously tongue in cheek, but yes. Some people bit and said, "Don't you understand? Kim Bailey's a man."
Yes. So is Sandy Thompson.
Excellent.
We've got it on both counts. Yes, let's talk about the race itself and selections for yourself. 10-1 the field, so there should be value in there. Five places online at William Hill as well.
Yeah, absolutely. On Sunday, I started backing Houblon Des Oboes each way at 100-1 with William Hill. I've since gone again at 66-1. And it's not a case of just jumping on the Venetia Williams bandwagon because you didn't start coming into form until Monday. But I do like the fact that this horse finished 10th last year on ground that was unsuitably quick for him. He was only, he's beaten about 40 odd lengths, plugged on through beaten horses at the end. He's £7 lower this time around, and he's got stamina and he's also got a touch of class. I mean, you go back to last season, he was third in Native Rivers Welsh National.
Yes.
And he was also second to Many Clouds in the 2014 Hennessy.
Yes.
So that, kind of proves his stamina and his suitability to a big field and the fact that he's, running up against genuine Gold Cup horses. And it's an added bonus that on Monday, Venetia Williams had four winners. On Tuesday, she had another three. So the stable's absolutely flying. And having been out of form for much of the season, like the rest of the Venetia Williams runners, Houblon Des Oboes ran a decent race last time out, finishing third at Ascot. So in first-time blinkers, he normally wears cheek pieces. That will hopefully put him spot on. And I just thought that, if he avoids trouble early, if he's just hunted round in mid-division, then he could come through and, probably not be good enough to win, but certainly get a place. And, he's currently, I think he's 50-1 in a place still, and each way five places. I'd be quite happy with the 10-1 about him making the first five.
Yeah, Houblon Des Oboes then 50-1, the selection for Andrew in the Grand National. Any others on the shortlist quickly before we move on?
I've also bet 10 Nivernais, another Venetia Williams one. Basically, he's best right-handed, but he did plod round at this race last year, finishing 17th. Given the form of the yard at 100-1 or even bigger in places, it's not impossible that he could pick his way through the field. And if it does turn genuinely heavy, then he'll certainly like conditions.
That would be so upset, according to the market. 150-1 outsider of the field, 10 and Ivana.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Going for the value in the Grand National, then Andrew Mount. Let's get some selections out for Friday as well. The 405 is the first race that Andrew has selected for us. It's the Topham, so we'll be over the Grand National fences for this as well. Grade 3 handicap chase on the national course, over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. The market headed by 007 at 9-1, 10-1 for Theatre Territory. Polly Dam is 11s, 12-1 for Bouvriol. Big Bad John is 12-1, 14s Top Gamble and Flying Angel, 14s as well for Ballyalton and Highland Lodge, 16s or bigger for the remainder. Who wins the Topham?
Good question. Very tricky, as you suggested. We had a 50-1 shot last year in the shape of Ultra Gold.
Yes.
But there's a couple of strong trainer trends here. Nicky Henderson's won this 3 times in recent years, all with young horses. Trio Delane, a six-year-old. Mafoul, a six-year-old. And Rajani Express, an eight-year-old. Peter Bowen won it 3 times with Always Waning from 2010 to 2012. And, he's also won it back in 2007 as well with a horse who was about £17 out of the handicap, Dumbrody Miller. So I'd certainly be interested in anything that that pair are running here. Now, the Peter Bowen horse is sneaked in at the bottom of the weights here. That's Flying Eagle, who was third at Foss last time out. Now, he's around about 50 to 1 with us here at William Hill. Mm. So I'd definitely throw a couple of quid each way at that one, given the trainer's fantastic record in this race. But I'm going to side with the Henderson runners. If you only look at Nicky Henderson's Topham runners, who were 8 years old or younger, four winners from 16 runners, and if you, sorry, from 17 runners, you back them blind, a profit of £36 to a £1 level stake. So that brings in 007, who's one of the market leaders here.
Yeah.
And the one I'm going to go with at a bigger price, which is Kilcrae Vale. Now, this one last time out, I was only fifth at Kempton, but again, he fits the stats. He'll be, quite suited by this test, I think. He likes a flat track. You look at his wins, they've come at the likes of Market Raise and Ludlow and Fontwell, and I think he could go well here at a decent price.
All right, I like it. Nice angle into the race then there at a big price. Kilcrae Vale at 16 to 1. Fitting the trend of young Nicky Henderson horses. We had Trailer Delaine, Marfilane, Rajdhani Express, as you mentioned, a little bit before that as well. He had Libertine, didn't he, in 2006, which was a seven-year-old, so that would fit the bill as well. So those are the stats for the Topham. The next race we look at is the next race on the card, which is the Sefton Novices Hurdle, a grade one over 3 miles, the extended 3 miles. We've got the good stayers in action for this. Santini is the 7-4 favourite. Okay, Corral is 9-4, 9-1 Chef Des Herbeaux, Roxana is 9-1, 10-1 Tower Bridge, 16s bar those. What do you like for that 440?
Yeah, I'm going to take on Santini, the current 7-4 favourite. This one was third in the Albert Bartlett at the Cheltenham Festival. But had you backed everything that ran at the festival so far, you would have made quite a big loss. And that race might have taken it out of him. And the one I like here is Point of Principle. A 33-1 shot for Tim Vaughan. Now, this horse was on my radar after he won on his debut at Warwick in January of last year. That was in a National Hunt flat race. He did something that's quite hard to do at Warwick. He came from off the pace to win a bumper. Now, the runner-up was prominent. The third made the running. So he was a 50-1 shot that day, and he was running well against a pace bias. Now, he's a little bit disappointing after that. He was second at Carlisle next time, although he was a 7-1 shot and was only beaten by 3/4 of a length. And then on his third start, he came here to Aintree for the Grade 2 bumper. Now, he was, again, he was a big price, 66-1. Now, he's finished 7th of 19 behind Laylor, only beaten 5 lengths.
Yep.
Midfield towards outer, ridden and a bit outpaced, stayed on final furlong. So, having bet him each way, it was a bit disappointing to see him not far out of the places. Three defeats followed that, but he bounced back to form with a narrow win at Ascot last time out. And, say, having shown form at Aintree before, I think that, Point of Principle is a horse going places and is perhaps underrated by the market here, and I'll be throwing a few quid each way at him at 33-1.
Great stuff. 33-1, yeah, for Point of Principle. So Andrew's given us some real value perhaps in those races coming up on the Friday. Could be having it right off that day.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that his trainer Tim Vaughan won this with a 33-1 shot in 2011. Saint R, who's since gone on to place in a couple of nationals.
Yeah, very good. Nice one. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. Been a pleasure once again. Good luck and enjoy the action on Friday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on Friday's racing at Aintree, day two of the Grand National Festival. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. Sam Norris, Andy Gibson and Kevin O'Malley, the team in the studio. Do join them for that and the rest of the day's action as well, of course. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.